This is our legal expert, Jeff O'Brien. He's a well-recognized attorney from Lohmann Abdo in such areas as business law, commercial contract disputes, intellectual property, and more. He also knows his sports and can lend his expertise when there are legal issues at play. This is Dave Harrigan, a well-recognized producer and update host from the Mackey and Judd Show. He's not really an expert in anything, but here he is to introduce the topics to Jeff and then nod in agreement every time Mr. O'Brien makes a great point. Welcome to Case in Point with Jeff O'Brien. Here's Dave Harrigan.
All right, Jeff, we're back, and we made it to episode 10. Double digits. How about that?
It's nice.
And they thought we couldn't do it. Episode 10, we're talking First Amendment, and it all began this topic to us about 2 weeks ago when Colin Kaepernick of the San Francisco 49ers, see, that's how you get to 10 episodes, you fall over the word San Francisco, the name of the town. Anyway, he sat during the national anthem of a preseason game, and a lot has happened since then. Let's kind of go through, in case anybody hasn't paid full attention to all the details and the Kaepernick saga and all the other people that have now joined in, be it against Kaepernick, supporting it. Where have we been since then? Yeah, we've been a lot of places.
Yeah, for those listeners that have been asleep for the last 2 weeks, let's recap what's gone on, because it's been a real hot-button issue. So it happened on a preseason game on August 26th, and Colin Kaepernick sat on the bench during the playing of the national anthem at a 49ers preseason game.
And I should mention, I believe I also read that he actually sat on the bench for at least the previous game before that, but no one really took notice.
Right.
It was only that third preseason game where someone finally drew attention to it.
And he was questioned about it, and he said that the reason he did not stand was he was unwilling to quote, stand and show pride for the flag of a country that oppresses black people and people of color. He later on, I think the subsequent preseason game, he then knelt instead of sitting, and then of course he threw more gasoline on the fire by wearing some socks during warm-ups that had a pig in a police officer's uniform. So obviously, Mr. Kaepernick is attempting to show some sort of solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement, speaking out about his perceived injustices when it comes to the police treatment of minorities and people of color. And that's where this all originated from. But what he has, of course, walked into is is this the right type of protest? You're sitting during the national anthem. Why is the anthem played at sporting events? Is it done to honor our military? And now you're getting into question. Of course, anytime you're dealing with the anthem or the pledge or the flag, now you get into patriotism, the love of the military, et cetera, and it's just snowballed from there.
And the military part is an important part of the story, because he says that, I mean, during that third game he sat, or the fourth preseason game, he said he chose to kneel as basically a nod to the military, kneeling to respect those that have gone and fought for the country and in many cases obviously died for our freedom. He was absolutely respecting that, but still not standing up for the flag, which, as you read in the quote, he believes oppresses black people or, whatever it is.
That's right. And, of course, since that time, and I guess his jersey is now the hottest-selling jersey in the NFL. Yeah. Presumably 50% of them are being incinerated or being burned.
You'd have to think so. Now, a lot of money to spend on a bonfire.
Exactly. We've had Jeremy Lane from the Seattle Seahawks join the protest last week in solidarity.
Yep.
You have Megan Rapinoe, the soccer player. She did this at a game, and of course the visiting team, her next game, played the national anthem while the teams were still in the locker room, thereby thwarting the expression of solidarity.
She was very upset about that. She used an expletive that I don't even think we can use in the podcast. It starts with an F.
Yes.
But Rapinoe very unhappy about how they pulled that one over. And, speaking of the military, that the team she was playing is actually owned by a military veteran, and that's why he went to do that, I was reading.
Yep, right. And it was we've had NFL executives, at least one of them, called Kaepernick a traitor. Now we get into the NHL and John Tortorella, who's the Columbus Blue Jackets coach and also is the coach for the USA hockey team, has said if you sit during the anthem, you might as well stay there because you're going to be sitting on the bench
and
for the rest of
the
game.
World Cup of hockey coming up here.
Right. So you now have expressions and counter-expressions. And so what we want to talk about today is, and you keep hearing these words, First Amendment. And so we're going to bring some clarity to whether or not the First Amendment has anything to do with this. And then we'll talk kind of historically, too, about some of the other examples. Because this isn't social activism among athletes is not new. Mm-hmm. You know, we had the civil rights era and players that were of all sports that were active, marching for civil rights changes. We've had, very famously, of course, Muhammad Ali being an objector to the Vietnam War.
Yeah, exactly.
We've been through this before. It's amplified because of 24/7 news cycle, the internet, social media. So I think we're all more aware of it. But this is really nothing new. So let's talk a little bit about what the issues are here. The question is whether or not now we're seeing this backlash or counter expressions from coaches, teams, opposing teams. We haven't heard the league yet, any leagues.
Yeah, they've been strangely silent on it, I find it a little odd for the NFL.
It is strange, considering that in other instances they have spoken up and thwarted different types of expression. I know the last season we had the hands up, don't shoot shirts the Rams
right.
were wearing.
That's right.
When we've had the Cowboys wanted to put a sticker on their helmet commemorating those police officers that were killed in Dallas earlier this year, and the league has objected to those types of expression under its uniform policy.
Yes, uniform policy. Can't mess with that.
Right.
Make sure your socks are high enough.
And... Exactly. So the question is, is it within these teams' right to punish players who maybe choose to sit out the national anthem? And whether or not, if there are punishments, whether or not the athletes can fight them on first, as a argument that they're expressing they're exercising their First Amendment rights. Mm-hmm. And then we can talk about a little bit about the role that these players, particularly with the professional athletes, play in terms of ambassadors to their leagues, to their teams, to their communities, and whether or not there could be a more appropriate means of protest here than what they're doing.
Let's first get into what exactly the First Amendment means, because I think
right.
that's at the heart of it. We all know First Amendment, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom to assemble.
I'm going to read through what this is the actual text of the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That's our 7th grade civics class. Mm-hmm. We've all read that before. We've all heard those words before. That is the First Amendment. The key thing here is we're dealing with we're talking about professional sports leagues. We're talking about professional sports teams. We're talking about private entities and organizations, and that is not protected. That kind of speech if you're on playing on a team, a pro team, that is not protected by the First Amendment, because in order to have a First Amendment issue, there has to be some sort of state action called the state action requirement. And the state action requirement stems from the fact that the constitutional amendments which protect individual rights are mostly phrased as prohibitions against government action. So it says, for example, the First Amendment states that Congress shall make no law infringing upon the freedoms of speech and religion. And because of that, it's impossible for private parties, whether it be an individual citizen or a corporation, to violate these amendments. Mm-hmm. And any lawsuit that's alleging a constitutional violation of this type has to show how the government, whether it be the state or the federal government, was somehow responsible for the violation of these rights. So you have this interesting situation here, Dave, where a athlete on a state college team has more rights in terms of the First Amendment, more protections under the First Amendment than a professional athlete.
Like, because say it was a gopher doing
exactly.
this, it would be if the U came down on him, it's a wing of the
exactly.
of the state.
University of Minnesota is an agency of okay. is a agency of the Minnesota state government, and so if the university were to say you're all standing for the anthem or you're not doing this or you're not doing that. Now there may be some issues in terms of whether or not those players' First Amendment rights had been infringed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but when you're talking about somebody who's playing for the San Francisco 49ers or the Minnesota Vikings or whoever it is, if the team wants to take action, barring something in the collective bargaining agreement, which we've talked several times between ourselves and with Phil and Judd about how one-sided the NFL's CBA is, it's very likely that there could be some punishments here if this continues. And, you know,
hey, everybody, Jared Sebesta here. Check out my brand new podcast, 2 Week Notice, where we discuss the process of quitting your job and living a more fulfilling life. I want you living the dream. Find 2 Week Notice on my website, jaredsebesta.com, or subscribe on iTunes today.
Now, the latest story is that let's see, you know, the Seahawks are talking about a team-wide sit-down, kneel-down yep. on Sunday, which, of course, is September 11th, mm-hmm. and it happens to be the 15th anniversary of the September 11th attack. So if it goes that far, I think that that would be considered jumping the proverbial shark, and I think the commissioner will step in and do something. I wanted to be clear about that. When that term First Amendment gets thrown around, First Amendment doesn't protect every kind of speech, whatever. It prevents the government from infringing upon people's rights of free speech.
Yeah, you still can't yell fire in a crowded theater, and you can't threaten. But obviously with Kaepernick, what you're saying is the government has absolutely no grounds to, you know, come down hard on him for doing whatever he wants to do, kneeling for the flag, speaking up against issues in the country, but certainly the 49ers or the NFL does, you would have to think, every right to come down how they see fit.
That's exactly right, Dave. And it'd be a different situation now if we had, say, someone was objecting to, let's say that someone came into the league and they've never stood for the anthem, and it was a religious grounds for doing so.
Sure.
Now you're back into those employment laws that we've talked about before, where an employer can't discriminate based on somebody's religion, and there's possibly a case there that if it was one player on the team that was of a religion that didn't believe in standing for the national anthem, there was punishment for that. They could argue discrimination on from an employer employee standpoint. So there's other ways to this could be triggered, but here I don't see where Kaepernick has any kind of claim if there were, except short of something in the CBA, which I'm not aware of, where where he could somehow, come back and say that his rights are being infringed
sure.
in some way, shape, or form. And that gets into another point. And, we've talked before. One of my clients is Carl Eller, the Viking great, and he's a very good friend of mine. I learned a lot from him about some of this stuff. And
name dropper.
Yeah, yeah. We've had some.
I know Carl,
and it's relevant. It's relevant to this because Carl has addressed this issue with Kaepernick.
Yeah.
There was an ESPN article that has some quotes from him. And when you get into a professional athlete's world, the kind of the catch-22 of all this when you have an athlete who is socially active, and Carl is one of a number of players who has been socially active over the years, obviously coming up to play as a player in the 60s, coming up from the South to the University of Minnesota, staying here with the Vikings in the civil rights era. A lot of these guys were active socially and politically off the field.
Mm-hmm.
The question becomes, which battles are you choosing to wade into and how you fight those battles? And one of the things that I think a lot of players subscribe to is they are given this platform because of they have made it to the NFL or the National Hockey League or the NBA or whatever the league is, and they're on this team. They have this heightened status and a platform because of that. And for some of the guys, they're cognizant of that when they exercise their rights of to be involved politically and socially.
Sure.
And Carl's point, his statement on the Kaepernick matter was, God bless you for speaking out for change, but maybe this wasn't the best way of doing so. And this was from the article. He said, athletes can break ground and forge new frontiers. With movements like Black Lives Matter, there's some recognition of what it was like in the 1960s. There's a great burden and weight as an athlete, and that's not a responsibility we should take lightly. We can play a crucial part in what's going on, but we should not confuse the two arenas. Make a stand. Let's do that, but let's make sure we're all fighting for one America. So you have a Carl, who's of the classic era of the NFL, who has been down this road in terms of social activism, saying, by all means, be socially active. I mean, I'm in favor of that. We don't want the dumb jock stereotype. These guys, if they have a view on something, by all means, they should speak out just like any of us would on a political or social issue. Mm-hmm. But be cognizant of the means in which you are protesting.
When could you see the NFL stepping in at some point? Because we mentioned earlier the Seattle Seahawks. Word coming out, I think today, they're discussing perhaps having a protest en masse for their first game where the whole team would participate. Obviously, Kaepernick's not going to stop. He's only going to probably pick up more supporters, whether it be whole teams or just individuals around the league that agree, or perhaps those that disagree might form their own sort of protest against Kaepernick's beliefs. I could see fans in the stands for week one of the NFL games, perhaps some taking a knee or choosing to sit, and people that happen to be in the same section maybe not being so happy with that choice, and words being exchanged and beers being thrown.
Yeah, that's a very good point. That's a very good question, Dave. I think it may come to that. I mean, the cynical part of me is that as long as the NFL continues to, make money, the NFL is not going to be bothered to step in and intervene. Some things I think conceivably that could trigger a response. Like you said, violence in the stands, violence between players on the field, something now that's a trigger that the league feels they have to step in from a public safety standpoint if this has gone too far. Of course, the cynical part of me says if a major sponsor decides to pull out, Miller, or if Budweiser said, we're done, we're out.
That would be bad for business.
That would be bad for business.
Very bad.
Very bad. And they may, and that, that may trigger a response. That might be the most likely thing to trigger a response is if a major corporate sponsor, pulled out or withdrew their sponsorship over this. I think if except continued bad publicity, bad press, that may do it as well. Who knows? Who knows? They may be wanting to tread lightly because of this fine line in terms of wanting not to want to allow athletes to be able to express their views on different issues, and maybe the issue, maybe this is instead of disciplinary action, perhaps the commissioner summons a few parties to his office in New York and comes up with some means of how this can be addressed where both sides are, maybe fashion a compromise where both sides feel satisfied that the athletes get to express their opinions on certain issues, but not in a way that offends others. Maybe that's the ultimate resolution of this.
And is there a way you could see, moving the protest, I guess you'd call it, from game day that the NFL would be more okay with? Because I have a feeling if this does escalate, Roger Goodell might start getting a little bit itchy, might start to worry about, like you said, sponsors pulling out money or whatever. Is there a way that, athletes or even, Joe Schmo, just like you and me, can find a way that we can express our opinions, but frankly not have an employer who might not agree with our opinions or the fact that we're even expressing our opinions, to save ourselves from, any retribution from our employers while still making feelings known?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question, Dave. And if this is continued to be isolated to one or two individual players, maybe there can be some sort of compromise brokered. If, however, an entire team, you know, maybe they tell Kaepernick, kneel down in the locker room. You don't have to be out on the field for the anthem, mm-hmm. and you know, kind of, you know, walk out the tunnel afterwards. If it's a whole team, though, I don't know. I think the commissioner is going to take some sort of disciplinary action.
Well, and even if Kaepernick, you know, were to stay in the locker room, as you said, that's still that's going to be the overriding story for the next five days.
Now that he's done it the first time, cameras, everybody's going to be trained on where is he on the sideline.
That's become the story. The game is no longer the story, or at least it's story B versus Kaepernick kneeling or sitting or being in the locker room. I think it would have to be story A, at least in the media's mind.
Because the threat, you know, the John Tortorella threat of if you're going to sit down for the anthem, you might as well stay on the bench. That's not a real punishment for Colin Kaepernick since he's there already.
Correct.
You know, he was. One could argue that he was getting practice for the rest of the game by sitting down on the bench.
I feel like that was a low blow towards our friend Colin Kaepernick. who is starting in San Francisco anymore?
Gabbert.
Oh, that's right. Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah.
Is Ponder still on the team?
I believe he made it. Yeah.
Oh, good for him.
Yes.
Good for him.
Proving that there should be nobody in this country that should be out of a job.
That's exactly. Wow. That's a bit of a low blow again, but I like it. Before we get out of episode 10, I want to touch on the topic we actually spoke about on the previous show, episode 9, the Jay Robinson issue.
Yes.
Yesterday, the news came down that he was fired.
Yes.
Mark Coyle decided to send him a letter of termination for just cause.
Yes, as per Section 3 of his contract, which we discussed last time.
Exactly. He cited the failure to cooperation with the investigation, attempt at a cover-up, not naming names of wrestlers that were involved. Just going back to the whole thing, now just cause, it seems to me, you know, reading specifically the letter that Mark Coyle sent to Robinson explaining why he was fired for cause, it seems to me pretty open and shut. Is there a way that you could see Jay Robinson and his team of lawyers coming back at the U and trying to get at least some sort of settlement out of it?
Well, Dave, the bar to getting into court, even if this was a federal lawsuit, the bar to getting into a court is very low. If you have some semblance of a claim, we call it notice pleading, you can file a lawsuit. Here, as we discussed on the last episode, Robinson may have some claims back saying that this was maybe based on age, maybe it would have been different. If this, you know, this was based, could be on retaliation from his outspokenness on things like, such as Title IX. Mm-hmm. So he does have what we would call in the legal world a colorable claim.
Yeah, or frankly, that he's, you know, getting a lot of money as a 30-year head coach for a sport that isn't exactly revenue producing.
Right, and a lot of lawsuits are brought not with the intention of going all the way to trial and having a judgment and payday. A lot of lawsuits are brought with a strategic goal in mind. So we talked the day that we recorded our last episode was when the news broke that they had reached an impasse in settlement negotiations. Yep. So the parties had been trying to negotiate his exit already, and that broke down. So this may have been you had to break the impasse. Mark Coyle decided this was how he was going to do it. But there could still be, for all we know, ongoing negotiations, and there could be if Robinson's people, his legal team files a lawsuit, negotiations still could be ongoing. Once you get into court, of course, then you get shoved in front of a mediator, and so maybe we can't solve this ourselves. This is someone's got to pull the trigger and get this in front of a neutral decision maker. So I don't think that we've seen the last of this. I do agree. This sounds, from everything that I've heard, and I've not been able to see the entire report from the investigation, but everything from the beginning has indicated to me that this is just not proper for a college coach of any sport to have handled it this way.
Yeah.
And so it seemed to me like what happened yesterday was kind of the inevitable result of all of this.
Yeah.
And so there may be a lawsuit going forward. I wouldn't be surprised by it. But I think that from what I know, I think that Mark Coyle had it was completely within his authority to determine under that contract that we talked about that there was just cause based on a violation of university policy.
Yeah, well, and the law itself. We're not talking just ethics and policy here. It's possible violations of the law.
Yeah, he thwarted a possible criminal investigation with these pills being flushed. He handled this issue himself, giving team members immunity that he had no authority to grant. Rather than just simply turning this over to the university or the police for investigation, he destroyed evidence of possible crimes.
Yeah, but bottom line, you'd have to expect that the U is expecting certainly a lawsuit coming their way, that they're fully prepared for it, and knowing that Jay Robinson wants at least a settlement.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I think there may be something down the road. Like you guys talked on the show this morning, Coyle had no choice here. He's a brand new athletic director, and this crops up. He had to make this move.
Yeah.
Strategically to send a message to everybody else in the university athletic department. You just can't sit there and negotiate this forever. You just had to rip the Band-Aid off, and we'll see how it plays out from there.
No, I learned you're an avid listener of the Mackey and Judd Show,
yes,
and we
yes,
appreciate
yes.
that. Well, cool. Episode 10 in the books. Enjoy week one of the NFL season, by the way, whether you're sitting, kneeling, standing, whatever you choose. I do hope you enjoy the games. I know I will. Make sure you check out Case in Point, of course. We've got 9 previous episodes. This was episode 10. You can find us 1500ESPN.com, podcast one, iTunes, of course, and give us that iTunes ranking, if you would, or the rating. We would prefer 5 stars.
Yes. And if you're on Facebook, we have a Facebook page for the show.
Absolutely. Case in Point is the podcast, and we'll do another one in a couple weeks. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Dave.
Talk to you later.